Welcome to the Man in the Mirror Bible Study Podcast. Today we are continuing on in our series in James, and our topic today is Rethinking the Power of Prayer. Our speaker is Pat Morley, author and founder of Man in the Mirror.
All right, good morning, men, and welcome to Man in the Mirror, men's Bible study. Well, we want to give a welcome to the guys who join us online, and so that's a warm and a rousing welcome. Let's do that together on the count of three. One, two, three. Churras. Welcome, men online. As you know, we are in this series on the wisdom of James, and today we're going to talk about rethinking the power of prayer. We're closing in on the end of the series. Next week will be the end of the series, so this is the penultimate message, and we're going to be talking about prayer, but we're going to talk about why we should rethink the power of prayer, and we're going to begin by talking about all the weight of the world, all the weight of the world, and how prayer is designed to help us handle, deal with, process, cope with, overcome all the weight of the world. So the passage we're looking at is James chapter 5, verses 13 to 18, and there are four situations or scenarios that are presented in this text. Verse 13, is anyone among you in trouble? So there we have suffering. It could be today's trouble. I have a deadline. I have 2 days worth of work, and I only have 1 day to get it done by the end of the day. Or it could be bigger than that. I have 5 employees in today's payroll, and I don't know what I'm going to do. Or it could be a relationship problem that's been going on for a long, long time. Or it could be, so we covered relationships and finances. It could be a moral problem that you're struggling with, or that someone in your life is struggling. It could just all kinds of, that's what it is. And so, in the blurb we sent out in the weekly email, I said that, 5 years from now, you and everyone you love will experience the full gamut of sufferings, but also successes and sicknesses and sins. And let's go on with the text then and see those. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise, a form of prayer. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And so we see four situations that I've just given them S's so we can kind of, have the alliteration: suffering, success, sickness, and then sin. So a few questions just about, since we're rethinking the power of prayer, just ask you a few things about your prayer habits and the presuppositions you have about prayer. So maybe you would identify with this statement: I get busy and often forget. Did you know that 55% of Americans, according to Pew Research, pray every day? 75% of Americans pray at least once a week. So prayer is very much part of the American life. 55% every day. But if you're like me, sometimes you do. You get busy and then forget. But maybe you often forget. Or maybe presupposition would be, I work my problems and I take responsibility. If it's going to be, it's up to me. Or, yes, I pray, just in case prayer actually works. Yes, I pray, but the results are up to me. That might be your presupposition. Or, I tend to pray only when I have exhausted all my other options. I'm going to do everything I can, and then, if I can't get it done, then I'll go and ask the Father for help. I prayed, but it didn't work out, And so I stopped, and we've all seen a TV show or a movie where someone prayed that their relative would, their brother or sister would be healed from cancer, and they weren't, so they gave up on God. Another possibility, you know, it's boring. You know, prayer is just boring. I can't concentrate, and my mind keeps wandering. Or I pray because I trust God's will. That would be another presupposition. Or I pray because I, you know, I'm a name it and claim it kind of a guy. I believe that I when I pray, I'm buying God to do what I ask and to bless me. Final presupposition could be, you know, I believe that all my prayers are answered. Yes, no, maybe, whatever. But I do believe that all my prayers are answered. So these are just some of the backdrops as we consider how the power of prayer is related to all the way to the world, our sufferings, our successes, but also our sicknesses and sins. So here's the basic problem that's presented by prayer. When I work, I see a result. But when I pray, sometimes I see a result, and often I don't. The tempting conclusion, therefore, is that work is more powerful than prayer. Are you tracking with me? So you put the effort in and you see the result. But you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray, and you know the relationship doesn't heal. The payroll, you have to borrow the money for the payroll, all these different things. So it's tempting, therefore, to think that work is more powerful than prayer. But that conclusion misreads what is really happening. And that's why I wanted us to rethink, use this text to rethink the power of prayer, because that's what the text actually does. It's a formula to help us rethink it. So you might want to, you know, picture this for the guys that are live here. But I worked on these sentences because I wanted to get them exactly right, because I don't want to mislead you. If we're going to rethink the power of prayer, I want to make sure that we do it in the right way. So a couple of sentences. Prayer is not magic for fallible people to get whatever they want. So, you know, a lot of people, you know, pray because there's something going on behind an opaque curtain. They don't know what it is. They think it's magic, and they think it's a way to get what they want. That's not what prayer is, but it's a sacred and powerful gift for all God's children. And by the way, all God's children means every human creature, every living human being, not just Christians. There's a thing called common grace. You know, God makes his rain to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous and all that. It's a sacred and powerful gift for all God's children to commune with their Creator. And so people say, well, why do you hike alone? And the answer is, I don't hike alone. You know, God and I are a majority in every situation. You know, the reason I hike alone is so that I can commune with God. Every hike is a spiritual retreat. Every backpacking trip is a spiritual retreat. I had one last week. It was pretty cool. I went to Big Shoals, the only Class 3 rapids in the state of Florida, and on a bluff 30 feet above the shoals is a campsite. I got it. So I'm all by myself in my tent and listening to the going to sleep with the sound of the shoals, get up, have a fire. And towards the end of the fire, now I've been on this retreat for, at that point, you know, what, 18 hours or something like that. And I'm sitting around and I'm just thinking about God's creation, worshiping him and the majesty of his creation. And all of a sudden, it happens. I became aware of a palpable sense of the presence of God. I mean, he was there. And so I took advantage to ask him a question. He answered the question. But that's because prayer is a way to commune with God. So sometimes it's very intense. Some of you may never experience that. Some of you experience that all the time. There's no one right way, but prayer is a way that we can commune with God. It's a gift from Him. So it's a sacred and powerful gift for all God's children to commune with their Creator and ask their loving Father to intervene in their sufferings, successes, sicknesses, and sins according to His will. According to His will. Now, back to the problem of prayer. Since prayer is so much more powerful than labor, it is so much more powerful. That's the point here of rethinking the power of prayer. It's so much more powerful than labor that God has had to put limits to prayer. He's had to limit it to His will, not our will, so that we don't destroy ourselves and everyone around us. You think about the things that you pray for, you have prayed for, and if you had received everything that you'd ever prayed for, you'd be dead, and everybody around you'd be dead too, all right? So God, in His mercy and His grace and His compassion, has put limits on prayer so that we don't destroy ourselves. So now I want us to talk about all the power of prayer. We talked about the weight of the world and the problem of prayer, but now let's talk about the power of prayer itself. God offers all the power of prayer for you to navigate all the weight of the world. God offers all the power of prayer for you to navigate all the weight of the world. And we see this illustrated in James chapter 5, verse 17. The end of 16 and 17 and 18, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, this is a person in this particular example who is not righteous because of their own works, but someone who's been declared righteousness because of Jesus Christ. So they stand unblemished in the sight of the God in terms of they have a righteousness that is not their own. This is the whole Martin Luther conversion story, where in the gospel is a righteousness that comes by faith and not by works. And so Elijah was a believer in Jesus, right? Everybody understand this? Elijah had faith in Jesus. Now, Elijah lived before Jesus, so he didn't believe in the Jesus of history like we do. He believed in the Jesus of prophecy, the prophesied Messiah. He was a Jesus follower, all right? So that's why he was righteous. And it says Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. I just can't really quite get my mind around that, honestly. I mean, this is just beyond my comprehension. But that's what happened. But that's not the end of it. In verse 18, again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. So James is wanting us, through illustration, to understand the incredible power of prayer, how powerful prayer can be when it's within the limits that we're going to look at. So here's the big idea for the day. God will give you whatever you ask for in prayer, if it's within His will, but never less than as much as you need. Some of you may have some familiarity. I've talked about this generally before. Well, I've talked about it specifically before. God will give you, this is what the scriptures say, and we're going to look at, right? I'm going to unpack this, right? He'll give you whatever you ask for in prayer if it's within His will, but never less than as much as you need. So there are three parts of this. Getting whatever you ask for in prayer. The second part is if it's within His will. And then the third part never less than as much as you need. I'm going to prove that to you through the scriptures right now. All right, so whatever you ask for in prayer, John chapter 16, verses 23 and 24, Jesus says, "In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask for in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be complete." In Matthew chapter 21, verses 21 and 22, Jesus replied, "Truly, I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, was withered, but you can also say to this mountain," hyperbole, "go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done." He's overstating the case to make the point. Verse 22, "If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer." 4 years ago, I was reading that passage and I was in a difficult place. And I said out loud, "That's not true." I was reading that as just my regular devotions. And I read, "If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." And I said out loud, "That's not true." And then I said, "Uh-oh, I think I am." And I asked God to rehabilitate my theology, right? Because I had a theology problem. I didn't believe the scripture. And so he did. Over a short span of maybe 10 minutes, God rehabilitated my theology. And in case that might be where you come out when you read that, and maybe you wouldn't say it out loud, hopefully, at least it's not, Christianly polite to say that out loud. I'm going to show you how you can rehabilitate your theology of prayer too. So just a reminder, earlier in James, he said, "You do not have because you do not ask God." So James is just thinking about his bigger brother Jesus here and the promise that he's made. Okay, and so that's the first part. You get whatever you ask for in prayer. And then it's according to his will, according to his will. So we have to look at the whole counsel of God. Perhaps you've heard that before. That's you would look at all of scriptures together to knit together the right way of understanding any topic, and in this case, prayer. Mark chapter 14, verse 36, Jesus, "Abba, Father," he cried out. This is in the garden of Gethsemane, during his great suffering, right before he's arrested and crucified. "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering from me." One of our four S's there, the suffering. "Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine." There's Jesus, our example, showing us that we can pray, but we should always bring our prayers under the submission or surrendered to God's will, not mine. And then he also said the different version, Matthew 26, 41 to 42, a couple more words are recorded. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and he prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." So, Lord, if it's not your will for this disease to be healed in this lifetime, if there's something that I can only learn by having this autoimmune disease, if there's something that I can only learn by whatever, and it might not be about you, if there's no other way that you can get the glory that you alone are worthy to receive, that I must drink this cup of suffering, so be it. So be it. for your glory, for your praise, I will endure all things. I will enjoy all things. I will walk through every sickness. And I will confess every sin. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, and by the way, this is the verse that I immediately went to when the Lord took me to. I went to it. He took me. Both are true statements, right? He took me there, and I went there. They're both true statements, right? Okay. That's another message for another day, right? But this is where I ended up immediately when I had the thought that I said out loud. That's not true. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. So this is the confidence. This is what we can believe. This is what we can put our faith and trust in. This is what we can, you know, do the fallback exercise on. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Now, He hears everything, right? But this is in the sense that He's going to act in a way that answers the prayer. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, hearkening back to the words of Jesus, we know that we have what we have asked of Him. And that's it. So yes, if you ask for anything in prayer, believing, you will receive, if it's according to His will. And then the third part, never less than as much as you need. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, "And the same God who takes care of me," Paul writes, "will supply all your needs from His glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." That might not be the perfect human body. That might be the perfect spiritual body that lives for 10,000 years times 10 trillion gigabyte, whatever years. And then this verse from Luke chapter 11, verse 8, where Jesus is told this story about the man who asks for bread. He says no, and then you pound on the door. I tell you, even though he won't get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, we're invited by Jesus to pray with shameless audacity. Yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. And this is the promise Jesus makes. He will give you whatever you ask for, if it's within God's will, but never less than as much as you need. And knowing this lower limit of God's goodness can change everything, can it? In terms of rethinking the power of prayer, you're thinking that you're not getting what you want, what you think you need, but God is making sure that even though what you've asked for, if you don't understand, Keith. Everything else that's going on. You don't understand the marvelous and wonderful plan I'm working out, and you're part of it. You're a piece in this big jigsaw puzzle that I'm working out, all things for good. You love me. You're living your life according to my purpose. I've got you, okay? I've got you. So I'm not giving you the whatever you ask for because I'm your loving Father. I love you too much to give you that. Dave Ramsey, I was just reading this, I think it was this morning, Dave Ramsey's cautioning parents not to pay their children's bills, their adult children's bills. Stop paying your adult children's bill because it's not what's best for you. It's what somebody might want, but it's not what they need. But God, as our loving Father, He's promising here, Jesus is promising that He's going to meet all of our needs, and we'll never get us anything less than as much as we need. That is rethinking the power of prayer. So you don't think you're getting what you need or want, but you by faith can trust that you are getting nothing less than as much as you need. You're never getting, you have never gotten anything less than as much as you need. Matthew 6, verse 8, concurs. Your Father, your loving Father, your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. He knows every word before it forms on the tip of your tongue. He knows your thoughts from afar. So ask yourself this question in terms of rethinking the power of prayer. Who would know better if a prayer should be answered the way you want? Who would know better, you or God? And because God knows better how your prayer should be answered, God edits our prayers and answers the prayer we should have prayed. You with me? This is rethinking the power of prayer. And so the big idea again, God will give you whatever you ask for in prayer, if it's within His will, but never less than as much as you need. And so what should our response be to this? Quickly, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, it's the Lord's Prayer. We should pray, always pray, Thy will be done. Ephesians 6, verse 18 says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, also be alert and keep on praying for all the Lord's people. 1 Thessalonians 5, this is a great life verse for, if I didn't have a life verse, I wanted to have this as my life verse a few times, but I've got another one that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So that's how we should respond. We should just always pray about everything. And then James 5, we won't go through this, but he gives guidance back in this passage we went through earlier on how we can actually pray that way. Songs of praise, calling the elders together, praying for the sick people, praying for the forgiveness of sins of each other. You can go back through that. And then earlier in James, he gave this, see how now we're wrapping up James, pulling some of these themes from earlier together. In James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8, he told us, when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. So pray in faith. How do you pray in faith if you don't rethink the power of prayer? If you don't actually understand how prayer works, then it's just, again, then it's just magic for fallible people to try to get what they want. So prayer rethought, God answers every prayer one way or the other. God gives us whatever we ask for, if it's His will. God will meet all of our needs. God will never give us less than as much as we need. I will constantly pray about everything and other people. I will pray, Thy will be done, and I will have faith and believe that these things are true. That's prayer rethought. Oswald Chambers, I wanted to tell you more, but I was going to give you a great story. I'm going to skip this thing here, and I'm just going to tell you the great story instead. A friend of mine had a business, and bills were mounting up, and he was working hard. If it's going to be, it's up to me, was that kind of a deal. He's a believer, but he didn't want to bother God, but finally it just got to be too much. And so he was at the office late one night, and he was just pouring over the bills, and he just said, God, I just don't know what to do. I'm just so exhausted. He said, I am so sorry. I have thought this business was my business, but I realize it's your business, not my business. And so I have made a mess of things. I got all these bills. I don't know how to pay them. But I'm giving you your business back. And so I'm going to go home now, and I'm going to have a nice meal and enjoy my family. And I'm going to leave you here with these bills. You would not be surprised to learn that over the next few days, that God took care of all those bills. The big idea today, God will give you whatever you ask for in prayer if it's within His will, but never less than as much as you need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your teaching on prayer. Thank you for your gift of prayer to commune with you, but also to come and get the things that we need from a Father who loves us and knows better for what we need than we know for ourselves. So I just pray that you would help each of us to have more faith in the power of prayer as a result of your teaching here today and the discussions that are about to take place. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can find the Man in the Mirror Bible Study wherever you listen to podcasts, as well as on our YouTube page. If you have found this helpful, please subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and share the podcast with friends. Since 1986, Man in the Mirror has been teaching the Bible, helping us reflect deeply as men and apply God's truth to our lives. This Bible study is recorded in front of a live audience every Friday morning outside of Orlando, Florida. If you need help navigating your life or leading other men, please go to maninthemirror.org and check out our vast library of Bible study videos, blogs, and articles on Christian growth and leadership. There are plenty of resources you can use to grow in your faith and help others grow too. At maninthemirror.org, you will find books written just for men, helpful materials for your church's ministry to men, and even a potential career in men's discipleship. If you're a man personally struggling in life, or you need help in discipling men, please send us an email at biblestudy@maninthemirror.org and let us know how we can help.